శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం జైన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదామయం దదాతి సపదాంతి. హే కృష్ణ కరుణాసింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమస్తే. తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ బృఖభానుసితే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియ. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శివాషాది గౌరభక్తవింద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరి, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరి. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you very much for your coming here to participate in this transcendental movement, Sankirtan movement, which you are trying to spread all over the world. Kalau tad hari kirtana. This age is called Kali Yuga. According to Vedic calculation, there are different ages. Satya Yuga, Trita Yuga, Dapar Yuga, then Kali Yuga. The duration of life of the Satya Yuga is about 1800,000 of years. The next Yuga, Trita, about 1200,000 of years. Next, Dapar Yuga, about 800,000 of years. And this Kali Yuga, 432,000 of years. Out of that, we have passed only 5,000 years. The modern history, they can give account, chronological account, at most for 3,000 years. But the Kali Yuga has begun since 5,000 years after the battle of Kurukshetra. There was a big battle, Mahabharata. Mahabharata means this whole planet was known as Bharat. At that time, your country or any other country, they were all included within the jurisdiction of Bharatvarsha. Therefore, the history is called Mahabharata, Greater Bharatvarsha. Before this, this planet was known as Ilavati Varsha. But since the reign of one big emperor whose name was Bharat, after him this planet is called Bharatvarsha. So there was a quarrel between long ago. The Kshatriya kings, they did not rule very nicely. As it is the nature of this world, everything deteriorates. So at that time, Parshuram wanted to kill all the Kshatriyas. From Mahabharata history, we can understand that many Kshatriyas they left that part of the country, of world, and they domiciled in this western part of the world. They are called Indo-Aryan stock. So these Europeans and Americans, they are also formerly Kshatriyas. From the Mahabharata history we can understand. But somehow or other, they have lost their Vedic culture by long separation with the mainland. Otherwise, the whole world was under Vedic culture. And 5,000 years ago, when the Battle of Kurukshetra was there, all different kings from different parts of the world joined, either in this party or that party. As it is usual, whenever there is a great war, some party joined this party, some party there. So we can see all these facts that it is estimated that 64 crores of men were massacred in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. That means the whole world fought. That was the greatest world war 5,000 years ago. So the point is, Vedic culture means Krishna consciousness. So this Krishna consciousness movement means that we are trying to revive the old Vedic culture throughout the whole world. That is the original culture. Because any other cultural history does not go beyond 3,000 years in the modern history. But before 3,000 years, what was the culture in the world? Practically there is no information. Darwin's theory is not perfect. It is only a theorizing. Human civilization is existing since the creation of this universe. So it is not that there was no human being some thousands of years ago. That is not a fact. The human civilization is coming since a very, very long time. So what was their culture before 3,000 years? The culture was Krishna consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita, we understand, Krishna says, imam vivasate yugam praptavan aham abhayam. This cultural Krishna consciousness, yoga, it is called yoga. Any culture is called yoga. So Krishna says, imam vivasate yugam praptavan aham abhayam. This culture, Krishna consciousness culture, Krishna is speaking 5,000 years ago, that this culture was first of all described to the sun god. And we get history, all the Kshatriya families, they are coming from the sun planet or the moon planet. The immediate king from the sun planet was Vaivasvata Manu, and his son was King Ikshvaku. In this way, the royal order on this planet was established. This King Ikshvaku is the original father or the original headman in the Kshatriya family in which Lord Ramchandra appeared, Surya Vamsa. There are two Kshatriya families, one coming from the sun planet and the other is coming from the moon planet. So there was interchange of population long ago, not only with the moon planet but also with the sun planet. These things we get from the history of Mahabharata. Now we are accepting only the modern history 5,000 years ago. 5,000 years ago, Krishna, we take him as the Supreme Personality of God by Vedic evidence. And he spoke the culture of Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago. And he says also therein that Imam Vivasate Yogam Pruktavan Aham Abhayam. This culture is Abhayam, inexhaustible. It cannot be stopped. It is existing eternally, Abhayam. But it was spoken first by me to the sun god, Vivasan. The sun god, the present sun god's name is Vivasan. Just like any headman, just like in England, the executive head is the Queen Elizabeth, or in America, the headman is Mr. Nixon. So, formerly, there was only one executive head in each planet, in this planet also. Just 5,000 years ago, the chief king or the emperor was Maharaj Parikshit. Similarly, in each and every planet, there is a headman, and he is called by some name. So at the present moment, the sun god, the headman in the sun god, is called Vivasan. His name is Vivasan. And his son came to this planet. His name is Vaivasvata Manu. And his son is King Ikshvaku. In this way, there is a disciplic succession. Krishna says, formerly, because the kings were the head of the state or head of the citizens, they were taught Vedic culture so that they can rule over the citizens or the subjects very nicely. If the king is all right, there is a proverb in India that is the Vedic idea. If the king is ideal, then the whole state is happy. Therefore, sometimes in India, they hanker after Ram Rajya. There is a party in India, political party, they call Ram Rajya party. They want to establish Ram Rajya again, as there are many political parties. So the ideal is the Lord Rama, he acted as the king. He was very ideal king. Ideal king in such a way, I'll give you one example, that one man's son died before the father. And the man approached the king and asked him explanation. Why it such unnatural things have happened that before the presence of the father, his son is dying? You are responsible. King said, yes, I am responsible. I shall find out what is he called. That was the monarchical responsibility. So up to 5,000 years ago, Parikshit Maharaj was the emperor of this planet, and when he was touring all over the world, he found somebody attempting to kill a cow. Immediately he took his sword and wanted to kill that man. Who are you that you are killing cow in my kingdom? He said, sir, I am Kali. I am the head man of this age. My business is this, cow killing. So he said, anyway, you get out of my kingdom. You cannot do this. So he surrendered, but he said, sir, where shall I go? Everywhere is your kingdom. Tell me, where shall I go? Then he was given place that you can stay in four places where unnecessary animal killing is going on, or slaughterhouse. You can stay there. Where prostitution is going on, you can stay there. Where indulgence in intoxication is going on, you can stay there. And where gambling is going on, you can stay there. But this Kali found it very difficult to find out a place like that. That was the condition. So this is a short history of the world. And when there was Krishna consciousness, people were very happy. Even there was no extreme cold, extreme heat, and any unnecessary disease also. These are stated in the Shastras. If you believe, that is, you can believe, but we believe. Because our source of knowledge is Shastra. We don't accept any source of knowledge which is not authorized. So according to Vedic culture, the Vedas are the authorities. Therefore, amongst the learned circle, even at the present age, if you can give evidence from the Vedas, then the truth is accepted. So our this Krishna consciousness movement is based on the Vedic Shastra. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Vedaishya sarvai ahameva vedyam. By studies of all Vedas, one has to come to the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. So what is our relationship with Krishna? That is Krishna consciousness. First of all, we must know what is our relationship with Krishna. Krishna says that mamai vamsa jiva bhuta. All the living entities, they are my parts and parcels. We are all parts and parcels of Krishna. Just like you are part and parcel of the body of your father, parents. Similarly, we are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. He is the Supreme Father. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita also. Sarva jonish kauntiya sambhavanti murtayaja tasang mahajani brahma ahang bijapadapita. Krishna claims, not only the Indians or the Hindus or the human society, no. He says in all forms, in all species of life, as many forms as there are. I am their seed-giving father. So Krishna's relationship is so expansive. So do not try to misunderstand that Krishna is Indian, or Krishna is a Hindu god, or Krishna is speaking something for the Indians. No, that's not the fact. Krishna is for everyone. Krishna's relationship is there in everyone's heart, dormant. Each of you have got love for Krishna. That is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that love for Krishna is existing in everyone's heart, but it is awakened by simply hearing about Krishna. You hear about Krishna. The more you hear about Krishna, Sinnatana Sabhata Krishna, Punna Savana Kirtan, Krishna, this very world is so transcendental, spiritual, that if you simply hear about Krishna, just like we are chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, simply by hearing this chanting, this mantra, Sinnatana Sabhata Krishna, Punna Savana Kirtan. If you hear about Krishna and if you join in that chanting Krishna, then you acquire immediately some pious reason. Punna. Punna means pious. Punna Savana Kirtan. Simply by hearing and chanting, you acquire results of pious activities. Because we are in this material world, are all impious. Just like in the hospital, you take a hospital, you can take it for granted. All the members of this house, they are all diseased. Maybe the doctor may not be diseased, but the majority of the inhabitants of a hospital, they are diseased. That is not an exaggeration. Similarly, any living entity within this universe, this planet or that planet, that doesn't matter. There are 8,400,000 species of life within this universe. 900,000 species of life in the water. 2 million as trees and plants. There is estimation in the Padma Purana. Jalajanam lakhani stavara lakhaminsati. So all these species of life, who are within this material world, more or less they are sinful. Exactly like that, anyone who is in the hospital, he is supposed to be diseased. So why we are put into this disease condition of life? The disease condition of life is symptomized by 4 symptoms: birth, death, old age and disease. You can live in any planet, but these 4 kinds of material disease will follow you. Birth, death, old age and disease. The ant may live for, say, 2 days or 3 days or a week, and you may live for hundreds of years or 100 years, and Brahma may live for millions of years. There are different grades of living entities, and they have got relative duration of life, comfort. But nobody can escape birth, death, old age and disease. This is our condition. So our real problem is the Vedic culture. They point out that we are eternal. In the Bhagavad Gita it is also stated, na jayate na mriyate va kadachit mita shasatayam na hannate hannamane sarire. The living entities are never born or never dies. It is simply changing the body that is going. Na hannate hannamane sarire. Just like if you change your dress, that does not mean you are finished. You can have another dress. Vasansi jinnani jathab yahai. Similarly, we all living entities throughout the universe, under different forms of life, we are continually changing our body in different types. So when a man is actually advanced in knowledge, he can understand that I am not this body, I am spirit soul. That is stated in the Vedic language, Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahma. I am spirit soul. Unless the human society or a human being comes to this point of knowledge, he is simply being defeated. That is stated in the Srimad Bhagavat. Parabhavastavad avodha jata javanna jigya satvatma tattam. A person may be very big man in material estimation, but if he does not come to the understanding or self-realization, what I am, whether I am this body or something else, I am not this body, that is a fact. We can understand that distinction, a difference between a dead man and a living man. What is dead man? Something is missing, or the person is missing, who was occupying this body. So we say like that, oh, my father is gone. Where is your father gone? He is lying here on the bed. Why do you say my father is gone? Yes, actually he is gone. He has left this body. That's a fact. We say, but we do not know. Who was my father? I was accepting this body as my father or my son. Now I say my father is gone, my son is gone. But the body is there. So, sometimes you come to the mistake or the correction that I am not this body, my father is not this body, my son is not this body. But when one comes to the right conclusion that my father is not this body or my son is not this body, I am not this body. So, my father gone. Gone means he has accepted another body. Or my son gone means he has accepted another body. Just like if somebody leaves one apartment, if a friend comes, sees that my friend is not here, so he understands immediately that he has gone to some other apartment and inquires from the neighborhood that this gentleman, where he has gone. Similarly, tatha dehantram prati dhiras tattva namhiyati. So, there is a long history of this knowledge. But unless one comes to this knowledge, the Bhagavad says, the Veda says, that whatever he is doing, he is puffed up of his achievements, but he does not know that is simply becoming defeated by the external energy of Maya. How he is defeated? In this way, practical. If it is accepted that my father or my brother or my friend has gone somewhere, then whatever he accumulated, the skyscraper building, the big bank balance, all the reputation, everything is left here. And where he has gone, nobody knows. Is it not defeat? Yes, it is defeat. Anyone who is conscious, he can understand that I am defeated. Yes. So therefore, real knowledge is Brahma-bhuta. The Bhagavad Gita says, Brahma-bhuta-prasanyatma na-sotate-na-kankate. If one becomes to the right platform of knowledge, Brahma-gyana, Atma-gyana, then he becomes relieved from all material anxieties. Na sochati, na kankhati. These are material anxieties. We are simply lamenting, oh, I have lost this thing. Just like your country had a great British Empire. Now, more or less, they have lost. Some of them are lamenting. And again, somebody is trying to make another empire. Hankering. So one who has lost, he is hankering. And one who is trying to get another empire, he is hankering. These two things are our disease. And as so long there is hankering and lamenting, you cannot be at rest, you cannot be at peace. But when you come to the right understanding, Brahma, spiritual knowledge, then you can be happy. That is the real platform of happiness. Brahma bhuta prasanna atma na sochati na kankhati samas sarveshu bhuteshu. At that time you can understand what is universal brother. Samas sarveshu bhuteshu. And after attainment of this platform of knowledge or existence, madhbhakti labhate param. Such person who is in Brahma-bhuta condition, he can rise to the platform of bhakti yoga, madhbhakti labhate param. And what is the result of attaining that bhakti? Now, bhaktya mam avijanati. If you want to know God, then you have to come to this platform, bhakti. Bhaktyamam avijanati, javana jaschami tattva. Actually, if you know, if you want to know God, what He is, we simply say, not all, some of us say, God is great. That's nice. Allahu Akbar. That's nice. But how great he is, what is his function as great, these things very few of us know. We simply theoretically accept God is great. Now this Krishna consciousness movement is the opportunity to know factually how God is great. What is our relationship with him? How life can be perfected in relationship with God? These things are being taught in different ways. We have got so many books, perhaps you have seen, they are demonstrated. Some of the books are here. We have got published at least 12 big, big books about this Krishna consciousness. God consciousness. When I speak Krishna, please understand, Krishna means God. You may call God in another name, that doesn't matter. But we Krishna conscious people, when you say Krishna, We mean God. Ishara Parama Krishna. That is the Vedic injunction. Ishara Parama Krishna. Satchidananda Vigraha. Anadi Radhi Govinda. Sarva Karana Karanam. Ishara. Ishara means controller. Every one of you has got some experience that you are controlled by somebody else. You cannot say that I am not controlled by anyone. That you cannot say. Even if you are the richest man, then you are controlled by the government income tax rules. Even if you say that I am the richest man in this city or in this world, still you are controlled. You have to make different books. But everyone is controlled. Therefore there is a controller. So here in this material world, you find some controller and you will find another controller over him. Just like your queen. Suppose she is the controller. But she is controlled by the parliament. And the parliament is controlled by the public. So you go on seeing, you will find one controller over another controller. But when you come to the point to see a person that he is not controlled by anyone, he is God. That is the definition of God. God means he is not controlled by anyone. Ishara Parama. Parama means supreme control. He controls everyone, but he is not controlled by anyone. If you find out somebody, don't accept cheap God. Now there has become a fashion. So many gods and incarnation of gods are coming. But here is the factual definition that God is he who is not controlled by anyone. Therefore God is great. Nobody can be greater than him. Nobody can be equal to him. That is the shortcut definition of God. So that definition is given in the Vedic literature, that the supreme God or the supreme controller is Krishna. Ishara Parama Krishna. But we are seeing controller. They have got a material body. But immediately the bathing injunction is that Satchitananda Vigraha. God's body is Sat, Chit, Anand. Three things that are there. These are transcendental qualities. Sat means eternal. Chit means full of knowledge. And Sat, Chit, Ananda. And not dry speculative knowledge, but Ananda. In the Vedanta Sutra, it is said, Anandamaya Vyasat. The spirit soul or the super soul is by nature blissful, always enjoying. We are also part and parcel of God. Therefore, we are also hankering after blissful life, full of pleasure. But we are being hampered due to this material body. We are part and parcel of Krishna. We are always, this whole struggle for existence is a hankering how to become blissful. We are trying. Everyone in this city, London city, they are working so hard. Why? How I shall become blissful, happy? That is the endeavor. Everywhere, not only here. But there are different classes of men who are trying to be happy in different ways. They are classified in four divisions. They are classified in four divisions. The first division is the Kormis, the worker, or the fruitive worker. Generally, everyone is like that. Everyone is working hard to get some profit, and out of the profit, he wants to enjoy senses, and thereby he wants to become happy. They are called Kormis. And one who is disgusted, or one who has failed to achieve happiness by working so hard like dogs and cats and asses, when he is disgusted, he gives us this attempt. Brahma Satya Jagannit. He is seeing, he thinks this world is false. Now I shall search out Brahma. Brahma Satya Jagannit. Renounces. And another class is called yogi. They are also searching after happiness by meditation, by searching out the prime principles of this world, Paramatma. So he is also trying to be happy. Or some of the yogis, they are trying for siddhis, anima labhima. They can become smaller than the smallest. We are the smallest because our original constitutional position magnitude is 1/10,000 part of the upper portion of the head. So the yogis, they are trying to achieve some material power, mystic power, because they are thinking that by achieving this mystic power, he will be happy. The aim is happiness. But the Kormis are working in a different way. And the Jnanis, they are working in a different way. And the Yogis, they are working in a different way. And there is another class who are called Bhaktas, devotees. They are also searching after happiness in a different way. So, out of these four classes are men. Of course, in the animal society, there is no such classification. Because they are animals. They are simply interested to fulfill the bodily necessities of life. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But a human being is not only interested in these four principles of bodily necessities, he wants something else. And they are in the four categories, Kormis, Jnanis, Yogis, and Bhaktas. Now, Bhaktas, so far Bhaktas are concerned, they are practically those who are pure Bhakta, pure devotee. They have no demand. They have no demand. Their definition is given in the Vedic literature. Anna-vilasita-asunnam. They have no desire. Jnana-karma-anabritam. They are above the results of jnana, yoga and karma. Then what do they do? Anukullena-krishna-anusilanam. They simply want to satisfy Krishna. That's all. That is actual life, because Krishna's part and parcel we are, living entities. So what is our business? We can understand it very easily. Just like this finger is the part and parcel of my body. What is the business of this finger? I wish, my dear finger, please, scratch here, I am doing this. This finger's business is to serve the whole body. Any part of the body, they are serving. And the stomach is simply eating. But all others serving. The enjoyer is the, you collect very nice foodstuff, palatable dishes. The hand collects, leg goes, the eye sees, but actually, they collect and the leg brings, the eye sees and the hand catches the foodstuff and gives it here. The hand cannot eat, Similarly, if God is the center, then He is the enjoyer. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhoktaram jagatavasam sarvaloko maheswaram suidam sarvabhutanam gyatamam shantimichyati. If you want real happiness, peace, then engage yourself again to the service of the Lord, who is the supreme enjoyer. Just like this finger, if it is cut from this hand and thrown in the street, it has no value. But so long this finger is attached with this body, if there is some pain, you can spend thousands of dollars because it has got value. Similarly, as part and parcel of God, if we become attached to God, then we can become happy, we have got some value. Otherwise, it is simply useless waste of time. So, our this Krishna consciousness movement is spreading this authoritative knowledge throughout the whole world. We are inviting all philosophers, all scientists, all thoughtful men, all religions, come forward. Try to understand this philosophy of Krishna consciousness and take to it. You will be happy. The world will be happy. Thank you very much. There is no other religion than Krishna consciousness. What you call other religion, that is more or less Krishna consciousness. But there cannot be any religion which is not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means God consciousness. If any religion has no concept of God, that is not religion. So, any religion who is advocating love of God, understanding of God, we have proof that that's a process of religion. But the test is how by executing or following that religion one has become lover of God. That is the test. That is, in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Savai Pumsa Paro Dhamma Jato Bhakti Rabhavati. That is the first-class type of religion which teaches the follower how to love God. If that is not there, then it may be any religion. But that is according to Srimad Bhagavat, Sramayeva hi kevalam, simply wasting time and labor, that's all. You test what religion is good by this criteria, how followers are becoming lovers of God, that's all.
Any other questions? Do you feel that any political system is closer to Krishna consciousness than
Yes, Krishna consciousness was taught in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So, nothing is out of Krishna consciousness. Politics, sociology, philosophy, religion, culture, anything. Everything is included in Krishna consciousness. But when it is executed in Krishna consciousness, it is perfect. Without Krishna consciousness, it is defective.
Any system now that's closer?
That I have already told. Any system you can bring forward, but we want to see whether by that system one has become Krishna conscious or God conscious. Then it is perfect. Otherwise it is useless, waste of time.
Why did some people
because they are fools.
What is the meaning of true communism?
Huh?
What is the meaning of true communism?
True communism means that everything belongs to God, and every living entity, being son of God, has right to live. That is not limited with the human society. That is meant for all living entities. If you simply take care of the human being and send the animals in the slaughterhouse, that is not communism. You should feel that every living entity is part and parcel of God, and everyone is living at the cost of God. So you have no right to encroach upon others' right. That is God consciousness. That is real communism. If you encroach, then you will be punished.
God is perfect. His creation should be perfect. Why is that? Why does there appear to be so much imperfection?
Because you are made imperfect. God has not made imperfect. You have made perfect. Just like this is the example. You are God's creature. Another animal is God's creature. Why you are slaughtering another animal?
Why do animals slaughter animals?
Huh?
Why do animals slaughter animals?
Because they are animal, but you are a human being, you cannot do that.
God created animals. Why
you want to be like animals? Then what is the difference between animal and you? If you imitate animal, the animal slaughtering another animal, therefore I shall slaughter another man or animal, then you become animal. Why do you distinguish yourself from animal? Then your civilization is that you want to become animal. That is a different thing. If you want to imitate animals, then you are animal. Yes, Krishna consciousness means perfection of life.
And that money and profit making means nothing. But why do you have gold rings? Nothing that's very expensive.
What is that?
Why do you have gold rings?
Huh?
Why do you have gold
because
rings?
Because you are giving me. Just to please you.
Just to please?
Yes. If some my disciples give me some ring, I have not purchased it. So just to please my disciples, I put it. And when there is opportunity, I give it to somebody. That's all.
Well, I have no place to see
you. Oh, why you are so envious? That's not very good.
Is Krishna consciousness the same as Christ consciousness or Shiva consciousness?
Krishna consciousness is perfect consciousness, and other consciousness is adulterated consciousness. Just like clear water and adulterated water, there are different grades of adulterated water. In some water there is less mud, and some there is more mud. But actual water means clear crystal water. That is Krishna consciousness. Yes?
Would I be right in saying the goal of any religion is do not do unto others what you don't want done to yourself? That is the goal of the religion in any religion. Am I right in saying that?
What is that?
Not do unto others as you do not wish
done to you, that is the whole of any religion.
Yes, that's nice. That's very nice. Yes. That is called samas sarvesu bhutesu, equal to all living entities. That is one of the qualifications for being advanced in Krishna consciousness. To see everyone on the equal level. But that is possible when one is freed from this material consciousness. That is not possible in the material consciousness. That is the beginning. In the beginning of the spiritual consciousness, one can think in that way. Otherwise, it is simply lip sympathy. That I have already explained. Brahma bhuta prasanna atma na sochati na kankhati samas sarvesu bhuteshu. That samas sarvesu bhuteshu is the third step in advancing spiritual consciousness, to see everyone on the equal. Therefore we say that if you have got right to live, then you should give the same right to other living entities. If you do not want to be killed, then why should you kill others? And in Christian religion, that is the first commandment, thou shalt not kill. Every religion. Ahimsa paramadham. Lord Buddha, he says, ahimsa, non-violence. It is the first class. So there are different grades of thought. But if you come to this platform, Krishna consciousness, everything you will find in your life in perfection.
I have no questions to ask, but I like to pay the tribute of love and affection and gratitude for your divine holiness, for coming here, and above all, to your Bhakta, whom I see here on this platform. They are the real, more or less, standard bearers of the future, the researchers of the future humanity. They will carry the banner of peace, of love in the Christian country. The Christians were responsible. I have nothing against anyone. But the two greatest wars have been fought by Christians. They were begun and ended by Christians. And today, due to your holiness and effort, I see before me